this in turn with me, if you will. Book of Matthew, chapter 9, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 35 down through verse 39. Well, let me go back. Let me correct that. Verse 27 down through verse 38. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came unto him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a demon. And when the demon was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out demons through the prince of the demons. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Our subject today, again, the second message that I want to bring to you on the subject called the eyes of Christ. Our Lord has a special kind of eye, and you and I need to understand that. Last time we pointed out to you the various aspects of the physical eye. It is the most marvelous part of the human body. It's better than any camera that they can ever design or build. And we find that the eye is mentioned 534 times in the Word of God. Now, God does this. God honors the eye. He extols the eye. He illustrates the eye. He condemns the eye as well as arraigning the eye. Now, my Lord does not like hypocrisy. And we find very clearly our Lord has eyes of indignation against two things. First of all, he has the eyes of indignation against false religion. Now, let me show you a characteristic of false religion, if I may. Take your Bibles and turn back with me to the book of Luke, chapter 18, for just a moment. In Luke, chapter 18, and we find, beginning with verse 9, these words, And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here you have the Pharisee and false religion set forth. Now my Lord has an eye of indignation against false religion. In Matthew chapter 23, and beginning with verse 23, we read these words again. This is our Lord's indignation. Listen to what it says. Thou blind Pharisee, I'm going to read verse 26 down through verse 29. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. And then he sums it all up, and he says, Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And how sad that is. But this is the mark. This is the eye of indignation that our Lord has against false religion. Now, false religion has these tenets to it. Number one, there is a lack of repentance. And beloved, today I want to say to you very kindly, I'm afraid that the vast majority of our churches today are propagating a false religion. Holy Spirit conviction is unknown. It's unwanted. It's unpreached. It's unexperienced. How long has it been in your churches, those of you that listen to me, how long has it been in the churches that you go to that you've had an individual stand up in your congregation and say with a cry from their soul, "Brethren or sisters, pray for me. I'm lost and undone. I need the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can't seem to find Him." And you know what happens? We find immediately there's a lot of pressure put on that kind of an individual to try to get them on a false profession. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. And Jesus said to them, He said, "You scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites," He says, "you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." You see, false religion has these tenets in it. Number one, there's no Holy Spirit conviction. The second thing about it is this: there's no repentance. Some of you out there today, you're very religious. You go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night, and possibly even on Wednesday night also, or whenever your church has services. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever repented before God? Have you ever stood before God as a guilty, lost, hell-deserving, good-for-nothing, despicable sinner in the eyes of God and in the eyes of yourself, so that your heart was smitten and your conscience was pricking you and dealing with you? And I'll tell you right now, you couldn't sleep at night. Many times you had to get up and you cried unto the Lord, and you wondered if the Lord God of heaven would ever save you, and you wondered if why He should save you, and you knew He didn't. He didn't have to, because you're such a wicked, good-for-nothing sinner. And I'll tell you right now, as you were in that category, you begged and pleaded and cried for the Lord God of heaven to have mercy upon you. Nobody could help you. But then one day when our Lord in His great sovereignty and grace reached down and delivered you, I'll tell you right now, that's what repentance is all about. You see, you think along with the Lord God of heaven, and you say amen to your own damnation. And I'll tell you right now, repentance today has been obliterated to the ash heap of the religious opinion. I know preachers at this very hour that if you mention my name, this is what they'll say. Well, the whole trouble with him is this: he thinks everybody has got to repent. Well, my friend, it's not what I think. It's a command from heaven, because the Lord God of heaven has commanded all men everywhere to repent. The reason? He's appointed a day in which he's going to judge this world in righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's guaranteed it in that Christ has been resurrected from the dead. You see, false religion has in it these tenets that are missing from it. Number one, there's no Holy Spirit conviction. And number two, there is no repentance. And then the third thing about it is this: we find also that false religion does not know about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles and go back with me to Matthew 23, if you will. And look with me in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. And our Lord here described the Pharisees and the scribes. And he said unto them these words: "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." You see, false religion has in it tithing, yes. It has in it giving of tithe, I should say, of mint and anise and cumin, but they've omitted the weightier matters of the law, which are these: judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, the reason? People today don't know what it means to be under the judgment of God. They don't know what it means to have God have mercy upon them. And then they don't know what it means to have the faith of the Lord God of heaven granted to them, and then the revelation of Christ bestowed upon them. And my radio friend, if what I'm saying to you at this hour is strange, put it down. It's because you don't know what in the world I'm talking about. And these are the eyes of indignation that my Lord has against false religion. Now, false religion will go so far as to do many things. Take your Bibles now and turn to Matthew chapter 7, if you will, and look with me at verse 21 through 23, where we read, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now here's the extent to which false religion will go. Yes, they'll preach in God's name. They may even be able to cast out demons and do many wonderful works. And a lot of that is so-called going on at this present hour. And yet people do not know the Lord Jesus Christ experientially. My friend, do you know Him to be a living reality to your heart? If you don't, then put it down. Throw away that old worn-out profession that you're on, and then you begin to seek the Lord God of heaven to have mercy upon you and to save you before it's too late. Now, my Lord has an eye of indignation against false religion. Then, my Lord also has an eye of indignation against the lack of forgiveness. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles now. And turn back with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18, and look with me at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which took account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have mercy with me, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now what do we have here? The eye of indignation against the lack of forgiveness. Now you folks listening to me today, many of you profess to name and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to say you don't know Him. But my friend, I want to tell you very clearly, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're lost and going to hell. But if you do know Him, you need to have a spirit of forgiveness given to you, that you might serve the Lord Jesus Christ the way He ought to be served. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, our Lord gave this parable, and Peter said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Now what do we have today? Churches are split. They're split into various sects and schisms and so on and so forth. And I'll tell you why. It's because of the lack of forgiveness that is manifested amongst God's people. Oh, some of you listening to me at this hour, you are holding grudges in your heart for years and years and years, and you claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, you need to go back and recognize this, that God in mercy forgave you. Then you in turn ought to forgive that individual that wronged you. And my friend, we need to see more and more of that at this present hour. You see, our Lord has the eyes of indignation against the lack of forgiveness. Here's a parable, and this sums it all up. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now somebody will come along and say, Oh, now, Pastor, just a minute. You don't know what that individual has done to me. My friend, it doesn't make any difference what he has done to you. When our Lord brings this to your mind, you're to have forgiveness upon that showered upon that person because of the fact that Christ has given you. Now, the Scripture is very plain with regard concerning this. Take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and listen to what it says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are you forgiving your brother and your sister in the Lord? I know very clearly in our churches today there are people that won't speak to each other because somebody has said the wrong word a number of years ago and they hold that grudge. And that's why folks aren't getting saved at this hour. My friend, I say to you very kindly that the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for you to know the Lord Jesus. And one reason people today don't understand and don't forgive is because they do not understand what it means to be forgiven by the Lord God of heaven. My hope is that you have been, because I don't know exactly where you stand. And my hope is that something at this hour has been said to you that will cause you to stop and think and realize that as God had mercy upon you, He's kept you here on this earth that you might have mercy on others of like faith. My friend, it may be you're going to have to go to that person. You may have to ask for forgiveness, but I say to you very kindly, you do that. If you can't forgive them from the heart, I'll tell you right now, then God's not going to forgive you either. It ties in together. And my hope is that something has been said that will stir your hearts. And all may the Holy Spirit of God deal with those who have an unforgiving spirit and break them down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and then receive from Him the eye of compassion and grace. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.